Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Cool. Well, hey, we are in the series Greater, and that's where we're just going to jump right into this again. And so far, what we've seen through this series is we've seen some pretty cool stuff. We started off with a giant announcement that we were making the building, right? That we were going to jump into this building. And then it's really, we've talked through that, and like that's how we're going to experience greater. And let me just say, like, this is it's a giant step of faith, and I'm going to talk a little bit about how we get there today. We're going to talk about digging ditches and digging holes and how we need to really do some work to get there. But it's an exciting thing that God's taken us to, and it's an exciting place where God's leading us to. So let me just give you a quick update so everybody's on the same page of where we are with the building as well. Because I think I broke it down to you and said that, hey, we're going to acquire this. And what we're going to do is we're actually going to do a land contract with it. So we've, again, both of us and then the sellers, we've met. Everything's good as far as the agreement. And then we had to send off the agreement to the lawyers. So they wrote up the land contract. Our lawyers got that written up. And now it's sent to the sellers. Their seller's lawyer is actually reviewing the land contract, and everything's kind of getting completed as that goes there. And then the seller actually has to get the title work completed, so they're in the process of that. We're getting some inspections done, including heating and cooling, or the well and septic, all that fun stuff. So that's kind of where we're in the process and how this is going. And again, I will say this, the 29th will be a great time just to kind of dream together. So I'll tell you, we are actually going to be in this building to July 31st. We'll have this. We may move a little bit earlier to the new building, but we'll be in here if we can always have this as kind of a place to meet until July 31st. But we're looking to go a little bit earlier, but on the 29th, again, we just want to dream together. So I think it's going to be a cool time just to maybe bring somebody, bring your family, bring with them, anybody that's come before, be like, hey, we're making this move, and it'll be a chance for them to see the building. And I'm going to tell you this, we're going to see it where it's really raw. Like, this building, I'm talking like, it will take you back into a beautiful place in time called the 70s. Peach pews, orange carpet, it's great. But what is awesome is it's going to be ours, and we can do so much there, and it's something we can turn into ours as well. So, but I want you guys to see it really how it is, and then what's going to be incredible is we're going to take steps of faith, each one of us, where we can go put some sweat equity into it, put some just finances into it, so we can see this thing shaped and formed into a place that we can call our own, that has our own culture, and where we can feel a place where, man, we can invite our friends to church, and it's a place where they know that they're going to hear the gospel, where they're going to feel loved, and they're going to walk out feeling encouraged because of it. And that's what that is. It's not because of the building. It's not a big deal at all. Like, that's not the church. The church is just a building. The church is, that is a building. The church is actually us. The church is how we respond to people, how we talk to people, how we love people as well. And all that church, all that building is just an avenue and a venue and just a tool really to help us do that better. So I'm excited to show you guys that as well. And it's going to be incredible to celebrate that. And that's kind of how we kicked off this series, talking about greater, was talking about that building. And then again, last week we jumped in and we had Mother's Day. And if you missed hearing the story of the Liebes family, you're going to want to go back and check out that podcast. Like, it's an incredible story that they've gone through. It's an incredible just an encouragement. So check that out at www.mylifechangedchurch.com. This week, and next week too, I'll just one more plug on that. But next week, we're going to talk about striking the water as part of this series. So you have to come to kind of find out what that means. But we will actually be doing baptisms again. So baptisms, so just so you're ready, like, this is where I want you guys to save your voice for next Sunday, okay? Because when we baptize somebody, when they come out of the water, we want to scream with everything we have to celebrate their decision. Because that's just what it is. It's an outward sign of an inward commitment they've made. So we're going to celebrate. We have three baptisms set up right now. And if there's room for more, so if you want to be baptized, you haven't before, please sign up, call me, put something on the connection card, Facebook message me, talk to me, tackle me, just get baptized. If you made the decision, you've never done that, and you want that outward sign of that as well. So cool. Today we're going to jump in though, and we're going to talk about digging deep. We're going to talk about digging a little deeper in our lives, because this is what we can learn, and this is what we should know, is that God fills what we dig. And to display this, I'm going to take you to a story in 2 Kings chapter 3, and we're going to look through verses 9 through 25, and really this is kind of a large portion of scripture here, so you could turn with me in your Bibles if you have them. If you don't have a Bible, again, we'll go to the Bible app. Download that. You can put that on your phone or tablet, but download that. You can utilize that as well. But you would turn with me there, and just a quick little background on this story. Here's what's going on here. There's a couple kings here in this story, and it starts off where these three kings come together to fight this country. Now, the king of Israel at this time, he basically brought his buddies together because there's somebody that went against him. The king of Moab actually broke an agreement. An agreement that had to do with a bunch of sheep. So some wool and some sheep. So this king broke this agreement. So then the king of Israel rounds up his buddies and said, "Dude, let's go. We're going to fight the Moabites, and we're going to get my sheep back. We're going to get my wool back. We're going to get even more than that. So let's do this, right?" So this is where it kind of picks up here in verse 9. It says, "So the king of Israel went to the king of Judah and the king of Edom. And after they had marched 7 days, there was no more water for the army or for their animals that were with them." So here they are, right? He rounds up his buddies and says, "We're going to do this. This is going to be awesome. We're going to take these people out," right? And then they go 7 days, and guess what? They're out in the middle of the desert, and they end up with no water. Like, think about how terrible this would be. Like, his buddies are probably like, "Dude, this is stupid. Like, what are you thinking?" He himself is probably, like, he's questioning it. And in fact, he even questions this even further here in verse 10 when it says this. It says, "The king of Israel said, 'This is terrible. The Lord has called us three kings together to hand us over to the Moabites.'" And I think it's kind of funny here, because the king of Israel at this time wasn't necessarily known as a godly man. He wasn't somebody that was following after God, and I think we can kind of see this there, because it kind of shows his heart. It shows that he's not really chasing after God, because again, the whole reason he was going into the Moabites, he was going to go against them, is because they messed something up, right? They broke an agreement. So this guy, out of his own selfishness, was thinking, like, "I'm going to get my sheep back, and I'm going to get my buddies to go with me." But then when it doesn't go exactly as planned, what does he do? He starts playing the blame game, and even his first blame is towards God. And I think this is sometimes how we can do this as well, right? If you look at this, this isn't really what the sermon's about, but this is kind of a little side note in here. A lot of times when something goes wrong or when something doesn't go our way, our first person we blame is always God. But really, if you think about it, he's oftentimes the last one we give the credit to, though. He's usually the first one to get the blame, but he's the last one to get the credit. Like, when something goes bad, we ask, "Man, why would God do this?" Or, "Where is God in all of this," right? But so many times we experience some blessings, whether small or big, we experience these things every day, and there's no real mention of thanks. But it continues on here in verse 11, and it says, "But Jehoshaphat asked." Now, Jehoshaphat was like one of the three buddies. He was like the good one of the ones, right? He was the one that was like following God. And it says, "But Jehoshaphat asked, 'Is there a prophet of the Lord here?' He says, 'We can ask the Lord through him.' As an officer of the king of Israel answered, 'Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He was Elijah's servant.'" Now, if you remember, we talked a little bit about this, but back in those days, there was no real direct line to God. Like, you had to go through a prophet. You had to go through a priest. So this is what Jehoshaphat's doing. He's thinking, like, instead of just blaming God, why don't we ask God? Why don't we get him involved in this? So let's go, let's find a prophet. But again, look, if you look at them, they're kind of turning to God as a last resort. Like, if you look at these three kings, they're out. They made their plans. They're going for this. And then they basically asked God to come a part of it, right? They didn't ask, "Hey, God, is this your plan?" They said, "Hey, will you come a part of this?" As a last resort, when they ran out of water, when they were all tired. I think it's funny, sometimes we do the same thing, right? We turn to God as a last resort, but not as a first resort. But what if we've turned to him as a first resort? What if we prayed first? What if in everything we sought after God first? And you see this here, they're seeking God. Continues here in verse 12, it says, "Jehoshaphat said, 'He speaks the Lord's truth.' So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to see Elisha. Elisha said to the king of Israel, 'I have nothing to do with you. Go to your prophets of your father and to the prophets of your mother.' The king of Israel said to Elisha, 'No, the Lord has called us three kings together to hand us over to the Moabites.' And Elisha said, 'As surely as the Lord all-powerful lives, whom I serve, I tell you the truth. I wouldn't even look at you or notice you if Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were not here. I respect him.'" Now, this is kind of a funny part of Scripture. Again, I kind of gave you the background of who these kings were and how Jehoshaphat's really the only one that was really living for the Lord at this time. So here, they request for Elisha to help them out. And Elisha's like, "Dude, I'm not talking with you guys. I'm not even going to waste my time with you guys," right? Elisha's pretty much talking smack to these kings. And Elisha, I think really in the flesh, he wanted nothing to do with him. Like, he just wanted to bring the hammer down on them. Like, he was a little bit grumpy. He wasn't in a good mood at all. He almost, basically, the only reason he even met with them was because of Jehoshaphat, because he respected him. And I think here's Elisha. He knows that he's in a bad mood. He knows that he probably should remove himself from the situation for a little bit because he's getting a little bit grumpy. He's probably going to say something that he's going to regret later, right? He's going to talk out of his own flesh rather than speaking the words of God. And as a prophet, that's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to speak the words of God. But here's Elisha, and he's thinking, you know what? I probably need to sit out a little bit. I need to pause. I need just to chill a little bit. So in verse 15, it says, now, here's Elisha. He says, now bring me someone who plays the harp. And while the harp was being played, the Lord gave Elisha power. Now, again, just a side note on this. I think so many times this is something we can learn from, right? So many times I think we're a little upset. We get a little grumpy. And instead of really walking in what God has for us, we walk out of our own flesh. But God's really asking us, he says, step back a little bit, right? Chill out. Let me just experience me a little bit, right? And this is really what's going on here. Elisha is actually worshiping. Bring the harp so Elisha worships God, because what worship does is it changes our mindset. Like, that's the whole reason why we play music up here, right? When you see me up here, it's never a good thing, but you're going to have to get past that, because the whole goal is to sing and to worship God, to change our mindset. And that's what worship is about too. So I think so many times we might have the wrong idea of what music's really for. It's not because we want to pick it apart. It's not because we want to have our certain preference. What we really want to do is we want to get entered into the presence of God. And that's what it does. That's what worship does. And this is why Elisha, he does this. He positions himself in a place where he can hear the voice of the Lord. And then it continues on. And then verse 16, after God has spoke to him, he felt the Spirit of God, Elisha said this. He said, the Lord says to dig holes in the valley. The King James Version says this. It says, thus saith the Lord, of course, because that's what the King James says, right? But thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Make this valley full of ditches. So here they go. If you think through this, they're going to this prophet. They want this great wisdom from this prophet. So they're thinking God's just going to deliver them, right? But then God says, make some holes. Make some ditches, right? And again, you think about this. Here they are. They're without water for 7 days. They're tired. They're thirsty. They're dehydrated. They're in the desert. They're dying of thirst. And God tells them to dig a bunch of holes. Chances are, if you think about it, they're ready for war, so they're not even carrying their shovel with them, right? So they're going to be digging holes with, like, spears and swords. Like, they don't really have the right equipment. Like, this is not going to be an easy task. Who wants to dig ditches? If you think about it, I never want to dig ditches, especially when I'm tired or thirsty, right? I want to go get some lemonade, and I want to sit underneath a tree, and I want God to do everything for me. And this is probably where these three kings and all their followers are at. But Elisha was speaking the word of God, and he's saying, dig some ditches. And he doesn't say just dig one. He doesn't say just dig a few, but he says, make this valley full of ditches. Start digging. Start digging some holes. And then it continues on in verse 17. It says, the Lord says you won't see wind or rain, but the valley will be filled with water. Then you, your cattle, and your other animals can drink. Now, this is huge too, because if you're looking at it, here these people are. They're supposed to dig ditches, right? When they're digging ditches, they're probably thinking like, well, dude, it's obviously going to rain. God's going to do something here. But then it says it's not going to rain. There's not going to be wind. God's going to fill it in a whole other way. And I think that's what we can learn so many times. So many times we expect God to move in the way that we want him to. Or we expect God to move in a way that makes sense to us. But oftentimes God never works in a way that makes sense to us. Again, it says, God says you won't see wind or rain. And again, wind brings in the rain. What is he really saying? God's saying, I'm going to move, but it's not going to be normal. I'm not going to answer it the way you think I should. I think that's true. So many times we need to understand that God's going to answer us, but it's not going to be the way that we think it should. But we just need to be willing to do our part. We need to be willing to start to dig a hole. And if you look at it, the end of the story ends this way here in verse 18. It says, this is easy for the Lord to do. He will also hand Moab over to you. You will destroy every strong walled city and every important town. You will cut down every good tree and stop all the springs. You will ruin every good field with rocks. And the next morning, about the time the sacrifice was offered, water came from the direction of Edom and filled the valley. All the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them. So they gathered everywhere, everyone old enough to put armor, and waited and waited at the border. But when the Moabites got up early in the morning, the sun was shining on the water. They saw water across from them, and it looked as red as blood. Then they said, "This is blood. The kings must have fought each other and killed each other. So come, Moabites, let's take the valuables from the dead bodies." But when the Moabites came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites came out and fought them until they ran away. Then the Israelites went on into the land, killing the Moabites. They tore down the cities and threw rocks all over every good field. They stopped up all the springs, cut down the good trees. Kir Hareseth was the only city and its stone still in place, but the men with the slingshots surrounded it and conquered it too. Here they are, these Israelites and these three kings and their followers. They're on the edge of death. But God turned this into an incredible victory. God gave them this huge victory. And he did it really in a short amount of time. But it all started with them digging some holes. I think what we can learn from the story is that God fills the holes we dig. God fills what we dig. It may not be exactly how we expected it, but God can fill what we dig. But he asked us to start small, to break some ground, and to start digging. If you think about it, this is... As a kid, this was a fun thing to do, but as an adult, it kind of changes, right? Like, if you think about it, how many of you guys have ever dug a ditch, or how many of you guys have ever dug a hole, right? If you were a kid, chances are you probably dug a hole. And I'm just going to tell you, science says that like 100% of people were kids at one time. It's science, statistics, you can't argue it, right? But it was fun to dig a hole as a kid, if you think about it. Like, the reason you, as a kid, you wanted to dig something because it meant that there was possibilities. When you dug a hole, you're like, man, I could put all my toys in here, and then all my friends, they can never get to it because it's in that secret hiding spot, right? You dug a hole because there was this world of endless possibilities, right? Again, when I was a kid, I remember there was this land, there's a little strip of land right behind my parents' house, and there was nothing that was able to grow in there. Like, it was just dirt. For some reason, there was nothing to grow. I'm going to tell you why there's probably nothing that grew in there. But I used it as my digging ground. I would bury so many things behind the house. Like, I would bury toys. I would bury, like, chocolate syrup. If I had some of that, I'd steal from the fridge, put it in there. I buried my dead rabbits. I didn't dig that one back up. But I buried all these things. There's no telling what's back there. And that's probably why things aren't growing back there. But I used to use that as my digging ground because I had all these things that I was thinking, man, if I dig this hole, I could put so much stuff in here. I can make this underground tunnel where I could have a fort. I could do all these different things, right? And again, going to the beach as a kid, what's your favorite thing to do? Dig a giant hole in the sand, and then you wait for the water to come fill it up. I don't know why that's cool, but it's just so cool to see it filled up because really, we want to see this possibility of what can happen. And all these things happen really when we start digging. It all happens when we start digging. But when we get older, what happens? All of a sudden, we quit really liking to dig because what? It's just hard work. We look there like, man, that's a lot of work. Like, my back hurts, my legs hurt, my arms hurt. I just hurt looking at it. Like in our backyard, they dug this ditch, and it brings the pipeline of gas into Newark from out in yonder or wherever it's from. But there's this pipeline, and they dug this giant hole in my backyard to dig up the old pipeline to put a new one back. So if you get natural gas in your house, you can thank me for letting my yard get dug into. But I look back, and I'm looking in my backyard, and I'm thinking, like, man, this looks terrible. Like, look how much work that is. Like, that would be exhausting, right? And now they actually have, like, power equipment and everything, too, but it still looked like a lot of work. It was, like, weeks worth of work. But my kids loved it. Like, it was this thing to them. Like, every day we'd get home, they're like, we got to go see the hole. We got to go see how it is. So we'd walk out and look, and they'd be like, wow. It's just a giant hole. I'm thinking, like, it's just going to fill it with mud. It's messy. Yuck. But they're looking at it like, this is awesome, Dad. I can't wait for tomorrow to see what they do. They love the tractors too, obviously, but that's a whole other thing. But then when they see it, man, there's so much things because they see potential. But when we see it, all we see is work. When we even hear the word dig, you're thinking like, I'm tired. Hey, oh, I got plans. Sorry, I'm not going to help you dig, right? I'm busy that day. But we instantly get tired. I think for many of us, if we're honest, we all really want to experience greater until we have to start digging. I think there's times where we may be even inspired, like God inspires us, maybe even on a Sunday morning, right? Maybe you walk out of here, you feel like you can charge hell with a squirt gun. You're thinking, yeah, I got this, right? Maybe you read a book and you're thinking like, yeah, that was really good. Like, I can do this. Like, you're pumped up about these things. Or maybe you even have a good conversation with somebody and you just feel good. You can do something. You can change the world. And then you go home And then your kids start screaming. They're running around. You're trying to talk to your spouse, your husband, your wife. Your kids are just yapping in your ear. You can't say a single thing. Then all of a sudden, you guys are in a grumpy mood. So then you start fighting. Then you just go to bed because you're tired. You're thinking, like, this is terrible. Then the next morning, you go to work. Work stinks. All these things add up. You come home. You got another bill in the mailbox. And you're like, oh, my goodness, right? It's terrible. And really, reality smacks you in the face. We want greater. We feel like we can get greater until we realize we have to start digging some holes. But the truth is, greater goes beyond a feeling. It starts with digging deep. I think far too often we just want to skip over the part of digging just to get to the miracle. We think, man, God, why couldn't this be easier, right? We think, God, can't you just do this, right? Can't you just fill this up? But the truth is, he can't fill it up if it hasn't been dug, because God has to fill something that's empty in the first place. And we're called to start digging. Again, if you look at it, they had to dig all night. Here's these soldiers. They're dehydrated, right? They've been in the desert. They're probably tired. They've been marching for 7 days. And God says, dig a hole. If we're going to be honest with ourselves, this is the part where we'd probably check out, right? This is probably the part, like, we'd get to this point and say, you know what? Like, I just wanted to fight a battle. I wanted to be a warrior here. I wanted to do something cool. I just wanted the victory. I don't want to dig a ditch. Like, I'm checking out. I'm going home. Doesn't matter. I'm peacing out, right? I'm not doing that. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I just want to call it. I don't want to even start to dig, let alone continue to dig all night. But the truth is, God's miracles require faith, and faith usually requires sweat. Faith always requires action, and faith is hardly ever comfortable. If we say we're a person of faith, we need to live a life that requires it. But many times I think we say we're a person of faith, but we live in a life that's so safe, that doesn't require any faith at all. It doesn't require any ground to be broken. It doesn't require us to dig as well. So let me ask you just this convicting question here. How much faith does your current life require? How much faith does your current life require? I think the more faith required, the greater the opportunities we'll see, but also the greater opposition, the harder it's going to be. And this is what's hard. This is the struggle for so many of us, because we don't want to break ground. We don't want to dig a ditch. But if you look at this army, they kept digging. They dug in the heat. They dug through the night. They dug when there was no water. They dug in the middle of this desert. They accepted this challenge that really looked like a death sentence. They accepted this challenge that if God didn't show up, they were done for, right? That's what faith is. Faith is extending yourself beyond your limits. It's going only on really the word of God. And it's the command, wasn't just to dig one ditch, but it was to make the valley full of ditches. Make a valley full of holes. What's God asking you to dig right now? What's God asking you to start, to step out in faith, to do in order to experience the greater life that he has for you? What area in your life are you believing for a miracle in? And what step have you taken to see that miracle? God fills what we dig. And when we dig, it allows for greater to happen in our lives. If you dig the ditches, basically God is saying this. If you dig, I'll send the rain. If you dig, I'll fill it up. He's saying, show me your faith and I'll show you my faithfulness. And the more holes that were dug, the more they could fill. Because God can fill every hole. And this is what we need to walk away with. This is what we need to understand. If you get nothing else, get this, is that our God specializes in filling things which are empty. Our God specializes in filling things which are empty. What's an area in your life where you just feel completely empty? Have you invited him in that? Have you began to dug and start digging and taking that step of faith so that God could fill that in your life? See, God wants an opportunity to move in your life. He wants to fill what we dig. And he's saying, show me your faith and I'll show you my faithfulness. That's what he's telling all of us, because he wants to fill the things that are empty in our life. He wants to do something greater in our life. But what does that mean? What does that mean to you? Like, if God were to fill all your ditches, what would you have right now, right? And what do you need? What do you need to walk in faith in order for him to do that? When we live this out, we see these things, that when we fill these holes, when we dig these holes, God puts us in a place to receive greater, because God fills what we prepare. God fills what we dig. And what we do, oftentimes we think, like, man, that's too much work, Right? That's hard to do. I don't want to take that step because it's just a little bit hard. But what we do will always pale in comparison to what God can do through it. So think about what that means for your life. Think about what would happen if instead of just quitting, what if we pressed on and continued to dig? What if we dug a little deeper and trusted God to fill that, right? This could change our marriages. This could change our finances. This could change our workplaces. This could change the things that we experience. We could experience miracles in our life. We could experience restoration in our life. But it all starts with digging and believing that God's going to fill what we dig. And to live this out, though, means that we have to do a couple things. Number one is that we can't limit God, so we have to have a little bit of inspiration. We have to think big. In order for God to fill and to fill what we dig, it starts really with us thinking big. If you go back to why you're a little kid when you dug a hole, right? Why did you dig a hole when you were a kid? Because you thought something incredible was going to happen. You thought that you were going to like change the world because of this hole you dug. You were going to make a way. I could get to my grandma's house within seconds because this hole that I dug was going to get me there really quick, right? That's what I thought in my head. Or we thought, man, I'm going to have this place where I can build this for. I'm going to get to China. We thought big, and that's why we started to dig. But we need to start dreaming big. I think far too often we sell God short because we don't think big enough. I've said this before. It's one of my favorite quotes, but it's D.L. Moody. He says this. It says, if God is your partner, make your plans big. How big can you dream? What are some big plans that you can think? How can you invite God into that? I'm going to be honest, this is a struggle for me. Like, I like to dream. I'm a dreamer, but I'm also very calculated. And when it comes to calculations, like, I can, like, tell you what's going to happen next. Like, it drives Sarah nuts. When we have our kids, and this is pretty, like, common sense stuff, but, like, if there's a cup on the edge of the table, like, it's getting moved back real quickly by me because I can see that I have one kid running around crazy the hallway right there. Pretty soon he's going to make the turn. He's not smart enough to make the turn real fast, so he's going straight into that table. The cup's pouring over, and it's going to be a mess. Like, I can see this far ahead. I calculate these things. But when I do this, I do this in every area of my life. I calculate everything. And the problem with that is oftentimes it puts limitations on things. Oftentimes I think we look at it and we're like, man, I can't do that. And I know for my life, there's a lot of times I think like, man, how could this ever happen? Like, do you understand, God? Like, how are you going to use me in this? Do you understand my limitations? Like, I know my limitations, God. The calculations don't add up. Like, it's not going to work. So I'm not going to step out in faith. But I think so many times we do that. It's a struggle I have as well. But we need to think big. We need to think beyond ourselves because God's calculations are nowhere near ours. God's calculations are completely different than ours every time. So let me ask you, are the dreams in your heart and the prayers that you're praying, are they bigger than you? If you're not praying prayers that are bigger than you, then you're just relying on yourself and not relying on God. Are the dreams you're praying, are they bigger than your bank account? Are they bigger than your natural talent? Is there room for God to move in those prayers? What would it look like if you dreamed big prayers? What would it look like if you said those things, right? Here's a question I like just to ask people. What would you do? What would you attempt if you knew you could not fail? What would you attempt for God if you knew you could not fail? Are we thinking big enough? To start digging, it means that we have to think big. And again, just because you can dream it, just because you can think it, we're going to be pretty honest here, it doesn't mean that you're going to see it happen. We have to be willing to do something about it as well. See, there's an active ingredient into greater, and it's our willingness to participate. So number two is this, it's participation. And to participate means that we need to start small. Yeah, we need to dream big, but we need to start small. We must be willing to start small. To experience the glory of greater, the truth is we have to put the grunt work in of lesser. I think far too often we just want the accolades that come with greater. We want the cool stuff where we're doing all these different things. We want to be the front of everything. We're all the greatness and everybody looks at me, man, you're awesome. But it may start with cleaning toilets. It may start with just doing something small. This weekend was the men's event. It was an incredible event that was going on. And like there was over 600 guys that are at this event. And there was tons and tons, hundreds of guys that made a decision to follow Jesus. All these great things happened, right? There was great speakers. There was great band things. There's all these things that happened, but it would have never happened if there wasn't people doing the lesser, if there wasn't people setting up chairs, if there wasn't people getting the food ready, if there wasn't all these different things to go through. It all starts with less. We have to be willing to do the grunt work of lesser. And I think this is such a tough lesson to apply, right? Because if you're anything like me, we want to get to the finish line as fast as possible, right? You want that a greater right now, right here at this moment. We want big things, but we have to realize it starts with small things. It starts with digging. Big things always start small. It's always been that way, and it's always going to be that way. So we need to be willing to start small. Again, if you look throughout history, if you look throughout the Bible, everything started small. King David, what did he start doing? He started by watching sheep in a field. He started by being off in some obscure place where nobody even knew he existed. But he was faithful in that little thing. Same thing with Noah. Noah's in the middle of nowhere, basically. And he starts building this ark, right? He starts building this boat. Pretty soon the water comes in, and then Noah's a hero, a big thing. But it started small. Again, these soldiers, they're in the middle of this field. But it started with digging a ditch. To see that miracle, it started with digging the ditch. We need to do what we can, which is always small, to allow God to do what he can, which is always greater. And when we do what we can, God does what only he can. I think many times we want God to do it all, right? But God says, you go first. He says, you take that first step. You step out in faith, and then I'll fill everything that you dig. I'll follow up, and I'll fill everything you do. Big dreams, they start small, and then they continue on as well. And I think if we don't start small, if we just have big dreams without a small start, all we're doing is daydreaming. If we're going to be honest with ourselves, if we have these big dreams, but we don't ever take that initial step, all we're doing is daydreaming. God initiates the biggest changes in our life through the simplest and the smallest starts. So we need inspiration. We need participation. I don't have one in my notes, but we also need perspiration. We actually have to work hard. There's some things that we have to put some sweat equity into things that happen. We don't just sit around just waiting for praying for things to happen. We have to live it out by starting small. God fills what we dig. But digging's not easy. God never said it would be either. But it's the prerequisite to a miracle. Digging always comes before greater. And when you know God's promised you greater things, you don't wait for a sign to appear, right? You don't wait for anything to happen before you respond. You start small. If you want to see God in your life, think big and start small and start digging. If the band would come up, we're going to close out here. But let me just challenge you with a couple questions. What are you digging in your prayer life right now? What holes are you digging there? What are some things that you're starting to break ground for? Maybe in prayers for your family. What are some prayers for your future? What are some prayers even for this church as well? Are you digging holes in there? Are you breaking ground in that area? What are some ditches you're digging, even with your serving or with your actions and what people see in your life? Again, as we go towards this new building, we're going to need all hands on deck, right? And it's going to start with digging. It's going to start with really serving more. It's going to start with jumping in to see this happen so that we can see others come to Jesus. It's going to start with maybe digging even deeper in our finances, right? Where we almost go even more sacrificial in a way where we can see things happen, where we can allow God to move. What are some things that you're doing? Maybe what's an area where you can begin to do? What's an area in your life where you need to break some ground? Again, if you want to see your life filled with God's power, it starts with breaking through. Digging ditches is really the preparation that God uses to fulfill our life. Don't dig just one ditch, but make a vow. Think big and start small. Position yourself in a way to make it rain. Position yourself in a way where you can hear from God. Position yourself in a way where God can fill something up and keep digging. If it looks like all hope is lost, let me just encourage you. Keep digging. If it looks like you feel like you're completely defeated, keep digging. If you feel like you failed, if you feel like a complete failure, keep digging. If you don't see a way out, keep digging. Even though your circumstances may look bleak, keep digging. Because God is greater than the confines of any situation we find ourselves. He's way bigger than any of our biggest problems. And there's no degree of difficulty for God. We need to keep it. I think this is why the God's greater really leads us to Jesus every time. Jesus was the ultimate example of grace. And if you looked at him, Jesus came to live a perfect life because we couldn't. We could never experience that greater life because we couldn't live that life, but Jesus did, and he invites us to experience that life. That's why he died on a cross. That's why he was risen again, so that we could experience that. So as we close, I always want to give you just an opportunity to respond. So again, if you're here today and you've never experienced greater, you've never accepted the fact that Jesus died on a cross for you, I want to give you that opportunity to accept that and to live that out as well. So if you would just quickly take out your response card. That first checkmark box, there's a place that says, I want to make a commitment to follow Jesus. If you're here, you've never done that, or you did, but you walked away and you want to do that, checkmark that box. And then maybe you're here today and God's just asking you to do something. Maybe God's asking you to respond by digging deep. Maybe God's asking you to respond by breaking some ground in an area of your life. Whatever that is, write that down and then remember that and live that out. Maybe God's asking you to just think big. Maybe you've limited God so much, right? Think big and start small. You would take this moment just to respond however God's asking you. It's also a place for prayer requests. And I'll tell you this, as we get ready to make this move, I'm going to ask you to fast on Wednesday. Maybe God's telling, maybe that's an area, and even as a church, I think that's an area where we need to probably start digging. There's some spiritual disciplines. There's some things that happen when we fast. And maybe that's an area where, as a church, I think we could do that. So I'm going to just open that up. And we did this in January. It was an incredible start to the year. Well, let's continue through this. So if God's asking you to fast on Wednesday, maybe write that down as well. And I'm just going to tell you this. Fasting, it doesn't really make you. I heard this. This is just the greatest explanation of fasting. But fasting doesn't make you more spiritual. What fasting really does is it makes you angry and grumpy. And just to be honest, that's what it does. But what fasting does is it brings all like the inner surface. It brings the junk that's in our lives. It brings it out. And it allows God to fill us up. And I think there's some things as we move into this next phase of the church, I think God's asking us, man, let's start digging. Let's bring some things out so that he can fill us more and do some incredible things in our life. So I didn't have that in my notes. That was just something extra. But if God's asking you to start fasting with us, do that. Maybe write that down and fast with us on Wednesday. But take this moment just to respond, and I'll be up in just a moment.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you were here today and you were listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.